There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We are talking about pay and reward. How do you attract and retain the best talent?
Absolutely. The UAE is on a drive to keep the best and the brightest here with long-term visas. But how do you make sure that they stay at your company? We are joined now by Ali Virani, who is a rewards expert at Deloitte. Ali, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
The fact that Deloitte even has a rewards expert makes me think that this is a topic you discuss often with your clients.
For sure. I mean, it's a massive area of interest. I think the way Middle Eastern employers typically pay people is they give them a salary, allowances, a bonus, and then there'll be like an end of service benefit when they cease employment.
But I'd say two of those three are decidedly optional for many companies here in the UAE, but I take your point.
But one of the elements that, I mean, that's a good model because it's kind of simple and it's understandable and it's common. But one of the things that kind of misses out is the long-term element. So it doesn't incentivize the achievement of long-term corporate objectives. It also doesn't incentivize retention. And these are two issues that I think organizations are very keen on in the region, especially now. And they're looking more into that. And that's why Deloitte has someone in the region who specializes in reward. It's because there are a lot of clients out there who want kind of expertise in mechanisms that are available to enable them to, number one, retain their key talent, and number two, incentivize them to achieve long-term corporate objectives.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here, Ali, and I'm going to ask you whether corporations in this region as a whole really are that concerned about retention. One of the criticisms that I hear from people, particularly funny enough in the construction and infrastructure industries, is that we're very keen and quick to get rid of people when we have a bad quarter, bit of a dip in the economy. Fire everybody. And then 6 months later, when it picks it back up, we need more people. Hire them and bring them in, which is, of course, a very inefficient way of working. But it is something that we see and hear about.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. But that cannot happen at, for example, the executive level. So you cannot fire your CEO and not have a CEO for a few months and then bring him in when things get better. You need especially at the executive level, you need kind of the key people to be around to deliver whatever the organizational strategy, kind of regardless of what's happening in the wider economy. And so for those people, it's kind of more those people that long-term incentives are targeted at.
So what are we doing here? What are the people that you are speaking to doing to keep them? Because we know in a lot of countries, share options are the big dangling carrot. But for a lot of firms here, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So there are a couple of interesting alternatives. So one of the things we see quite common is what are called phantom shares or pretend shares. So you tell your employees, I give you an award of this many phantom shares or pretend shares, and I will notionally buy them back from you at the end of 3 years or 5 years for a value. Now, say, for example, profit is really important to a business. We will value those shares by reference to profit, or if something like EBITDA is important to the business, we'll apply a multiple to EBITDA. So we'll say, we'll value these kind of pretend shares at 10 times EBITDA, and we'll pay you that amount at the end of 3 years, provided you're still here and provided XYZ performance measure is achieved. So that's one way.
Are they legally binding?
Yes. It's a contract between two individuals and absolutely legally binding. So that's one way that we see.
Can I jump in with a question here?
Sure.
There's two separate things there. One is linked to the profitability of the company, which even in an organization of 10 people, you'll only have a small impact on. And the other is related to my own KPIs or my own targets, which is much more relevant to me. That works well in sales. We know it does because your KPIs are pretty obvious. But most people don't work directly in sales. And so their performance, their productivity is a slightly more abstract beast to judge. So how do you do that for someone who works in support functions like human resources, for example?
Yeah, it's very common, actually, for human resources, probably because they're the most aware of this to be in these plans. But you're right. There's no way that someone in HR, I mean, the impact that someone in HR, for example, may have on profitability is kind of limited. There's not that direct link. But they are employed by the organization. And the logic is that they should be rewarded when the organization is successful because they do play a key role in, you know, hiring the right people and making sure the policies are in order and so on. And so that's kind of where this comes from. It's almost like a sharing thing. If the business is profitable, then the employee should kind of share in that success.
But then the hardworking ones who go the extra mile get the same reward as the lazy ones who hide in the corner doing nothing.
The way these plans normally work is you have what are called vesting percentages. So say, for example, you are less hardworking than Brandy.
I would say, for example.
True fact.
Yeah. What would happen is we'd say, because you guys are equally contributing, you have a maximum of opportunity of, say, 100 shares, and Brandy has a maximum opportunity of 100 shares. And if it's apparent that, you know, you work at 60% and she works at 100%, then
but
you don't...
That phrase, it is apparent, there's the kicker. Those are the three words.
What if they just like me more?
Yeah, how do you measure? Is it against KPIs? Is it, you know, you Ali, and your organisation, whoever it is, has got six KPIs and we find some way to measure our performance against those and that is that is the way that these schemes work?
That's exactly right. So at the outset, what needs to happen is you need to set very objective KPIs that are measurable and clear and communicated. So participants know kind of where the goalposts are. And that's critical. And if you do that, then you kind of people know what they're aiming at and they know, you know, how much they're going to get if they achieve those KPIs. But the KPIs do need to be as objective as possible.
I love the idea of incentivizing staff to keep them and to work harder. My question is, in the current environment where we hear a lot about redundancy here, we know there are financial issues in a lot of other expat places, Hong Kong, Singapore at the moment, you've got Brexit uncertainty in the UK, you've got recession fears in the US. How hard do companies actually have to work here to keep their top staff? I mean, at the moment, there'd be a lot of people who are just happy to have a job.
I mean, again, it depends on what level of the organization you're talking about. There's some organizations here that are very specialist, and there are only very few people in the world who can do those jobs. And I think there's definitely at that kind of more senior level, a war for talent. And so, I mean, I think you're right, maybe from a kind of a mass market perspective, but at the executive level, I say they have to work pretty hard. I mean, I'm aware of a handful of CEOs in the region who have been poached and are going somewhere else. And so it's actually a disaster for the business when that happens, because if a business is working to, say, a five-year strategy and the CEO jumps ship 2 years into that, then, you know, it's gonna there's a lot of uncertainty in the business. It's going to take 6 months to find a new CEO, and that is very unhelpful.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, talking about phantom shares and incentive schemes. Ali Virani, rewards expert at Deloitte. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.